Hello, everyone. Like Pastor said, my name is Tim Perry, and my whole life I've grown up in a Christian environment. My whole family's Christian, and I've always gone to church, and I've always been in a Christian school. I've always went to Durham and Knox. That's where I went to school. But unfortunately, that whole time I thought I was saved because of the things that I did and the places like that I went, like church and being at a Christian school. I thought I was saved, but it wasn't until after high school I figured out that I was saved because of what Christ has done. And I learned that at Millstream Bible Camp, which is just down the road a little bit. I was counseling there during the summer, and there were a lot of Christian young people that actually cared about their faith, and it was there that I was introduced to what being a Christian really meant, and that's when it kind of all connected in my life, and that's when I got saved. And after that summer, I decided that I needed to go to Bible school in order to learn some more things about God. So I went to the Word of Life Bible Institute. So if you've been wondering why my family's been going here, but you haven't seen me for like the last 3 years, it's because I've been at the Word of Life Bible Institute. And I finished the two-year course there, and I also did Impact, which was a lot like the Resonate team that was here this morning, but it was all guys. But yeah. Kevin was also on it, so it was sweet. Yeah. And I think if I boil all the things down that I learned at the Bible Institute, I learned so many things. I was blessed in so many ways, but I learned that being a Christian isn't just getting into heaven. It's for us. The point is for us to have a life of service to God and of worship to God. And that's why I want to become a member here tonight, so that I know that this church will be a wonderful place for me to use the gifts that God has given me, and I'll be able to minister here in great ways. And also, I know that there's people here that will love me enough to minister into my own life, that I'll be able to grow and grow in my walk with God. And in closing, I want to share a little verse in Hebrews chapter 10. You can turn there if you'd like, verse 19. It says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day come approaching." And I just find this is a great way to kind of just wrap up my whole testimony, because the first half talks about why I'm saved because of Jesus, and I'm able to go into the holiest place, right into the presence of God, because what Christ has done, how he died on the cross, and that's how I have my sins forgiven. But also what my purpose is, to hold fast the confession that I've made, but also to consider the other people being the church, and how to encourage them into love and good works. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, Tim. I'm going to ask Leo McLean to come and share what God's done in his life.
Disappointed there wasn't more people here. Well, I'm going to give my testimony, and I don't take notes. I say it from my heart, okay? What I'm going to say is true. I know it's true because it happened to me. Never been to church in my life. I'd never been to Sunday school. And I thought this church stuff was just something else. What happened here? But anyway, I worked at General Motors, started General Motors. I was 17 years old. I was just 17. I got married at 19. The wife was 17. So I'm going to kind of throw this all around. You may make some sense of it, at least when I say it. I love giving my testimony. I love telling other people about Jesus Christ. And but anyway, I started the motors. I was only 17, and I never been to church, never been to Sunday school. I thought all Bibles were black. I got that one now. It's the color of the rainbow. And because then days, your Bibles were all black. You sit on the table where they were, they're all black. But I knew nothing about God. But God was searching for me. We say we search for God, but God was searching for me. And here I was. I smoked. I drank. And anyway, I worked in the motors, and I was 23 years old. And I come up to Christmas. I was celebrating. I've done everything that the world thinks is great. And I've been there. I've done that. And believe me, it's not great. We might think it is, but it's not great. And I met this man. I was handing out booze on Christmas before our holidays. His name was George Edwards. He went to Calvary Baptist Church. He's a dear saint, and he's in glory now. But anyway, I asked that man questions. I tell everybody, I got the gift to ask him questions. Just ask Bruce. But anyway, I asked questions. But if you look in the Bible's full of questions, people asking questions. What must I do to be saved? The Mary asked about drinking of the water. It's full of questions. And I was a man of questions, and I questioned this man for a year. And I brought all this stuff home to my wife. She wasn't saved. We were married in the St. Paul's United Church. We went there, and I got saved. And he come around, and the minister, he was in his 70s. He said, "Leo, how come you're not coming out to church?" Well, I said, "I got saved." I said, "Are you saved?" He said, "No." He said, "We do that a little different here." He said, "We don't." But anyway, we got saved, and I never went back. But anyway, here's this man preaching for years in the United Church. And I'll never forget it. So anyway, I had him sit in my living room and ask me if he was saved. And here I was. But anyway, if you're going to be saved, you're going to be persecuted. They persecuted me. They used to go past. But anyway, I got back and handed this guy drinks. I'll get a little mixed up here. I was handing the guy his drinks. And I said, "George, have a drink. It's Christmas. Everybody's drinks celebrates Christmas. Everybody has a drink." "No, Leo," he says, "I don't drink." He says, "I'm a Christian." The first question I have, and I'll never forget it. "What's that? What's a Christian mean?" I never even knew what a Christian meant. Never knew nothing about it. He said, "Leo, when you're not drinking after you come back from holidays, I'll tell you what it is if you're still interested." God was dealing with me. The Holy Spirit was calling me. And he went in the truck. He'd bring his Bible in. He'd read the Bible to me. He'd pray with me. And I'd walk past all the table. These guys I used to play cards with and drink with. And then they would say, "Are you saved yet, Leo?" Or, "There goes little Jesus. Will you pray for me?" And all this stuff. They would tease me. But, you know, when God's calling you, you know, it's like to become as a little child, like that little girl said. We must have childlike faith to come to Christ. We can't kind of figure God and come to God and try to figure him out, because you can't do it. You got to have faith. And I knew nothing about nothing. So anyway, he witnessed to me, and I brought this home to my wife. And that was 1966. I was saved on Easter 1966. And George would answer all these questions I had. I had more questions than Packers got pickles. I would just keep asking him the question. And this poor man had a lot of patience with me, you know. So, Bruce, you must have to be patient. You got a year or two to go yet. But anyway, I love to talk about Jesus. My life has changed. And you know, I've been married going on 47 years. Married at 17. And I was 19. Mark was born 3 weeks later. You know, I said, "Dad, I don't want to get married." He said, "Leo, you do the right thing. Dad was Catholic, Mom was Protestant, so he went nowhere." And I said, "Well, I don't even know about love. You don't know what love is. You're 17 or 19 to make a full commitment to marriage." Mom said, "You'll learn to love your wife." Now, true that is. You'll learn to love your life. And you know, we learn to love Jesus. You know, we come as little children. We come to learn to love Jesus. And I came to learn to love Jesus. And I come here, and the reason why I want to join this church, I come here 8 to 10 hours a week. Every week I come here at church. And the guy says, "You're a fanatic." I said, "Thank you. I appreciate that." You know, we've got to stand up for Jesus. Don't be ashamed. You know what I mean? You want to change life, come to Jesus. He changes you. He changed me. Changed you. He changed anybody. But we must come. There's a lot of marriages in trouble. There's a lot of young people that need Jesus. Come to Jesus. He's the answer. I could go on and go on and go on. I love to talk about Jesus. I love my Bible. I don't like to read. I force myself to read. I have no education. I'm almost illiterate. Basically, I force myself to read. I don't have to force myself to read the Bible. I read the Bible. I went through the Bible 2 years ago, walked through the Bible. And it's my best friend. Jesus is my best friend. I'm not perfect. Just forgiven. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. The Lord's done a great work in Leo's life. Just to remember the first day he walked into this church, and he hasn't left since. Praise God. I don't mean that in a bad way, Leo. We have one more testimony, Daniel Goodwin, a young man that I've known since he was a little baby. Come on up and share, Dan, what God has done in your life.
Hi, I'm Daniel Goodwin. I would just like to start off by making sure that I thank God for all that He has done in my life. I want to make sure that anything that I say in this testimony is attributed to God and not to me. Nothing I did could have made me come to the realization that I came to or the things that have changed me in my life. Most people start off their testimonies with a statement. I was born in a Christian home, or I wasn't born in a Christian home. My story is a little different than that. My mom and my dad were both believers, but they didn't really know it yet. And you see, both of my parents had accepted Christ at a young age, and both had been walking in rebellion when they met each other. They got married, they had me, and it wasn't until I was about 8 years old that they actually started going back to church. The reason that I want to mention this first as I start off is God's hand has been on my life forever. This is an example of divine orchestration. My mother and my father both came together not living a Christian life and ended up becoming the great parents who they are today. It's a huge blessing for me to have been raised in that kind of family where I do get to hear about Jesus, where I have been told to go to church or allowed to go to church, and I praise God for that every day. Around the same time as my parents started going back to church, I was taken by my mom to a Billy Graham crusade, actually the same one that Peter Cervera went to. I heard, and I went up at the altar call at the end. I believe I was 7 years old at this time. I gained the head knowledge of being a Christian at this time, but being a Christian actually involves believing in Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And I knew, like, Jesus came, He lived a perfect life, He died a terrible death on the cross for our sins, He rose 3 days later, defeating death and cleansing those who believe from the sins by imputation, giving me and every believer Jesus' righteousness before God, so that God could see us as a holy people once we were sanctified. But I knew it, but it didn't mean anything to me. I didn't really believe it, because it's difficult to believe when you're so young. It wasn't until I was about 14 years old that I realized what any of this actually meant to me. When I was 14, I came to this realization of the weight of sin on my life, of where I would go, of the eternal consequences of my choices. And I believed, and I was saved. And then I was baptized at that time. The one verse that comes to my mind when I think of this is Romans 8:1. There's now, therefore, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. The problem was, I started to change a little bit. You know, I read my Bible a little. But after an initial high, I stopped. I started to fall away again. It was during the difficult times in high school. I wasn't living a Christian life. I was being the Christian who gives other Christians bad names, is the way that I like to describe it. I was never the worst child, but I was great at having two faces. I could show my parents one thing, and I could show other people another thing. And that's what one of the biggest causes of sin was in my life. I would go out and do different things than I would ever claim to do with my friends. I was being a hypocrite. I wasn't living as God would want me to. And at this age, because of the realization, I started taking seriously the role of being a Christian in my life. Sincerely, my biggest regret, at in my life at this point is those years, the times when I was in high school, when I knew what I was doing, and when I was still spitting in God's face, when I was saying, I don't care. They're the biggest regrets that I have, and anyone who's in that situation right now, I urge you to stay away from that. Since starting to come to NFBC, some of my friends who I've had for a long time, some of the friends who I've made just recently, they've really helped build me up. They've really helped me to change who I truly am. That's part of the reason why I want to become a member at the church. NFBC has been huge in my life. God is blessing the work of the people here, and he's blessing the people who are here because of that. I'm excited to become part of this congregation of believers. One of the many ways that NFBC has blessed me is through the friends that I've gained, the ones who are able to rebuke me when I'm doing something wrong, and the ones who are willing to take my rebuke when I tell them they're doing something wrong. I believe that Newcastle, as we've just moved out here, has become part of my mission field. It is where I am to come to share Jesus Christ's name to the world. This is my mission, and I just pray daily that God will do a strong work here. I know my life story may sound pretty similar to most, but each of us has our own story of how God is changing our lives. It's a daily walk, and every day I aim to place God first in my life. I aim to be a faithful soldier for Christ Jesus, constantly trying to grow in him. I fall daily, but hey, I'm a work in progress.
Praise God. I'm going to just share just a few thoughts. Some of you may be a little bit confused about what you've heard tonight, what's been going on. You may be saying to yourself, what are all these people talking about? What are they really sharing about? We're talking about the greatest news that any human being could ever hear. And that is that fallen creatures like you and me can be saved by God's grace. Forgiven for our sins, have the assurance that we have peace with God, and know that when we die, we'll be with Christ forever. And the Bible says that all of us are sinners, and some of us will say, well, I'm not a sinner. I've never murdered anybody. I've never taken anything that doesn't belong to me. I'm not like Paul Bernardo or all those other bad people in this world, but you know, the Bible defines sin as falling short of God's glory. Sin is not only the actions that we commit, but sin is the thoughts of our minds, the attitudes of our hearts. You know, the greatest commandment in the Bible is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And therefore, the greatest sin that we could ever commit against God is to not love him with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And there's not one of us here tonight who can say, I've always loved God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength. You see, our sins have separated us from God. He is holy and we're not. We are fallen creatures, every single one of us. We sin every single day. We fall short of God's glory. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect life, a life that you and I could never live. And he went to a cross, and he died for the sins of those who had fallen short of God's glory. He died for our sins. And now salvation is a free gift. The Bible says it is by grace you've been saved through faith. That is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Can I say something here tonight? I'm going to say this from the bottom of my heart. This is God's plea to you if you don't know Christ. There is a judgment coming. The Bible says it is appointed for man to die once, and after that to face the judgment. You will die, and you will face God. And if you face God apart from the grace of Jesus Christ, my friend, you have no hope. You have no hope. You're separated from God because of your sin. And Christ went to the cross to save you. And that's what you've heard tonight. And God saved me when I was 17 years old. My father committed suicide when I was 14. My mom tried to commit suicide when I was 16. And when I was 17, by God's mercy and grace, He saved me and changed my life. And you've heard the testimony of many people here tonight that God has saved. And God has changed. We're not perfect. But as Daniel said, we've been forgiven by God's grace. And God is changing us day by day. There are going to be people now that are going to come. That these people that share their testimony tonight about what Christ has done for them, they're going to walk into the waters of baptism. Baptism, my friends, does not save us. I'm married to this beautiful young lady sitting here in the front row. And if I were to take off my wedding band tonight and put it down here, I would still be married to that beautiful young lady sitting in the front row. This wedding band doesn't make me married, and putting it on doesn't make me married. Taking it off doesn't make me unmarried. We're married to each other. It is simply a symbol of the fact that I am married to her. And that's exactly what baptism is. Baptism does not save us. Jesus Christ saves us by His mercy and by His grace. Baptism is simply a symbol telling everybody else that I have been saved by God's grace. And when I go into the waters of baptism, I'm telling everybody that I have died with Jesus Christ. My old life is buried away, and now I've been raised to live a new life in Christ. And that's what they're going to testify to tonight. They're going to testify to the fact that Jesus Christ has saved them. They're going to testify to the fact that their old lives have been buried with Christ, and now they want to live the kind of life that pleases God. That's exciting news. It's an exciting thing. So we're going to baptize each one of them one at a time. So Eric, if you could turn on this mic. Thank you so much. Let me take my Bible down here. I'm going to ask Peter Silvera to come and stand in this water with me, Peter. That's good. We always worry if it's too hot or too cold, but it's perfect. Just step down right there.